Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit!
It is December 31st, 2014, New Year's Eve. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. Hey, I got, you know, some stuff to go over. It's not going to be a super long show. You know, a couple things to rant and rave about. And, you know, one last show for 2014. You know, everybody out there right now, well, not everybody, but a good percentage of America right now is getting hammered. And, making all sorts of proclamations and, you know, predictions about themselves. But we'll get into that in a little bit. I didn't do a show last week. I was going to, it was Christmas Eve, and I was going to do a show. I have not been watching a lot of wrestling. I got to be 100%. The thing is, you know, I just haven't. You know, I've been training. I've been doing a lot of shit like that. And just haven't had a lot of time or really interest in watching a lot of wrestling these days. You know, just within the past couple weeks. You know, I'm going to be attending the CZW January show, which is, you know, one of these rare occasions. I think 2015 is going to see me at a lot more live events. You know, kind of just circumstances have turned that way, and I'm going to have the opportunity to show up in more of these things, and yeah, you know, I don't have a lot of Saturday night plans, so you know, I'm able to get there and don't have to worry about babysitters and those type of things, and shit, you can probably expect to see me at a couple more of these, so that's what's going to happen there. But yeah, I haven't watched a lot of wrestling, and then I had a few things I could have talked about last week, but I just decided I was just going to go for a run. I put in a seven-mile run last on Christmas Eve, and, you know, just decided I wanted to do that with my night. I was going to do both actually, after I get done with this tonight, I'm going to take my new rec bag out for a trip. You know, see, you know, how much I could do with it as far as running, jogging, walking, whatever the case is. I'm pretty excited to have this. Ordered it off the internet over there. Coach Payne, the guy who does all sorts of different things. He's a Navy SEAL, and he does all sorts of things with the obstacle races, with mainly Battle Frog, but he does different things with, like, the OCR World Championships and stuff like that. He had the hookup for these things, and they're, you know, you could buy a lot of these weighted bags online and just fill them with your own sand or different things like that. But the weight's going to be imbalanced. It's going to have, like, a weird, lumpy, fucking crazy feeling like that. And, you know, depending on the materials, just not a lot of comfort. Definitely not even weight distribution, which is pretty key when you're doing shit like that. Carry too much shit on one side, you know, you could wind up hurting yourself. And it just overall just isn't the best way. Because, you know, the more evenly you could distribute shit, the more evenly you're working your body. So, there's, I don't remember to say. I think it's Linden Fitness or some shit like this. And they're called Rec Bags, the official joints. And, yeah, I got a 60-pound one, which is the heaviest one they sell, at least, you know, through that company. It's some form of, like, a rubber composite or something inside of it. It's like a nice durable outer shell or whatever you want to call it. It's got the two you know, fabric handles, like the nylon, I guess you call it, handles. So you know, you put it across your shoulders, hold the handles, and yeah, it's badass. You know, just the same shit. If anyone seen my profile picture on Facebook, that was at which one was that? I think Rugged Maniac that I did. And I had never, even, you know, most of these other races I've done haven't had those. So that was, like, one that I was like, man, like, they had those things to fucking carry, and those are, like, the most comfortable shits to carry I've encountered thus far, and I hadn't seen them again since I saw them online. What they had at that race is they had 50-pound ones for the dudes and 25-pound ones for the chicks, and I grabbed one of each, which, in retrospect, I should have grabbed 250s because I just didn't know how far they had us traveling. It wasn't really that far, so I easily could have, you know, grabbed the 250s. But yeah, man, you get these shits across your shoulders, it's like a fucking heavy pillow, man. This shit is comfortable as hell. And like I said, the weight being distributed is perfect. So anyway, I got the 60-pound one, and I haven't given it a try yet. I just got it in the mail today. They're running some kind of special where they give you a 10-pound one for free with any order or something. So I'll figure out something to do with that. But yeah, pretty cool. So after I get done with this, I'm going to try to take that like a mile or so and, you know, give it a, and it's fucking cold out there. So I'm going to have to, you know, Under Armour up and shit and, you know, bundle up for that. But, yeah, I'm excited. I got a bunch of different things lined up as far as my races go. I was just looking at the calendar and, you know, the different races that are, you know, everything where they're scheduled for the next year. And I'm kicking around a couple ideas. You know, I'll go over that in a second. I'm going to let me see. Yeah, let me, because, like I said, last week was Christmas, and I got this little thing I put together, a little Christmas music, but it still works because it's not really a Christmas song. Sort of is, but yeah.
I really can't.
But I said, motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
I've got to go.
And I said, motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
my mother will start to
beautiful.
Worry.
What's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So
roar.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please. don't
well,
hurt.
Maybe just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I
the neighbors
pour.
Might think.
Maybe it's bad out there.
Hey, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your
how
eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break the spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks
I
swell.
I ought to say no, no,
mind
no,
mind if
sir.
I move.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
And I said, motherfucker, you motherfucker. I said, it's cold outside.
Yeah, so, you know, and as I was putting that together, I never really realized how extremely rapey that song is. It's more or less like a Bill Cosby Christmas song. You know, she's like, yeah, I gotta go. He's like, nah, it's fucking cold out there. Hey, drink on some of this shit. She even says, like, what's in this drink? And it's like, yeah, my dad's gonna be waiting up. He's like, yeah, never mind that asshole. It's fucking cold outside. I'm gonna get a little closer. Anyway, yeah, she says, keep drinking. You know, it's like, holy shit. You listen to that song, it's extremely rapey. But yeah, like I said, I was looking at the calendar and different things for my races. I just realized that, because, you know, these races show up all different dates and stuff. They got to, you know, book the venues and stuff like that. So depending on, a lot of these races tour the country. So where they wind up in what state at what time, I mean, that's all on them. But, I may or may not end up doing Tough Mudder in 2015. I have 7 races besides Tough Mudder lined up, and they've put Tough Mudder in November. And I don't know. I don't like the fucking cold. And I've done Tough Mudder twice, including this year doing it in, you know, 50-something degree weather in the fucking rain. And that shit was like fucking serious, like mild fucking hypothermia. Like I was having serious fucking problems with that race. So, you know, and it's like an 11-mile fucking race, 11-12-mile race with a lot of fucking water involved. So this one is scheduled for November 7th this year. It's actually in Jersey City, which intrigues me a little bit because, you know, different location, you know, makes it a little more interesting because usually it's an English town. Which, you know, I've done a bunch of races there, but I'm almost kind of tired of that joint at this point because I've done so many races there. 2014 wraps up. I did 6 mud races and one just regular 5K run. The 5K run, I came in 16th place overall, which is the highest I've ever placed in any one of these runs or any of that shit. Last year, I did 3 mud runs. And, like, 5, you know, regular 5K runs. So, you know, I'm definitely stepping it up quite a bit year by year. Like I said, my goal next year, the 7, my big focus is the Spartan Trifecta, which is doing the Spartan Beast, which unfortunately comes first. It's my very first race of the year, is my biggest race of the year. So my training is just, I'm fucking driven. That's April 18th. And then, following that, let me see, May will be the Spartan Sprint, which is the short one. That's like the 5K Spartan. June will be Battle Frog. That's a bad motherfucker right there. That's a 15K. Rugged Maniac in July, which is a shorter one, but they pack like about the same amount of obstacles as you would put in like a 15K into a 5K. So it's pretty badass. I think it's a 5K, so 5K, 6K, some shit like this. But they pack like a lot of obstacles in a shorter race. So that one was pretty cool. I did that one and I enjoyed it. I'm going to go in August and redo the Warrior Dash, which I did, 2013. That was one of the 3 races I did. I skipped doing it this year because it was the same weekend as Battle Frog, and I wanted to do a bigger race. So this works out where I could do Warrior Dash again this next coming year. September, I'll finish my Spartan Trifecta, and the Super Spartan will be in September, just like it was this year. October is the Badass Dash. And if I choose, Tough Mudder is in November, like I said. I don't know. I kind of just want to finish the Spartan trifecta and see where I'm at. If I decide, you know, after that, fucking Bring It On, which honestly, like, the more I think about not doing it, the more I want to do it, because I don't like to, you know, back down off of shit, but I fucking do hate the cold. So I'm going to see what goes on and, you know, play it by ear. But besides Tough Mudder, I definitely have 7 other races to do. Like I said, the first one is the biggest, big shit to do there. And like I said, I'm really excited to have this fucking wreck bag to play with now. So that's just one more thing to fuck around with and, you know, push myself. So what do I want to get into? Well, I guess what I'll do is I'll start off this whole thing. And I definitely got to make these people jerk offs of the week. So I'll start it off this way, and I'll pause, and I'll go right back into it, because it's not going to be the length of the normal jerk off of the week segment. So check it.
Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
Jerk off of the week is every motherfucker out there right now making these proclamations and motherfucking New Year's resolutions, talking about what they're going to be next year. Bitch, you weren't that this year. What the fuck makes you think tomorrow's going to make any difference from what you are today? Motherfuckers are just inhaling fucking calories, just sucking the motherfucking shit down, talking about how much weight they're going to lose come tomorrow. Motherfucker, if you want a shit to do with your life, if you want a shit to improve about yourself, you should have did that shit in June, July, August, September, October, November. You had to wait till fucking December to finally make a proclamation, make a bigger piece of shit out of yourself on the 31st of the month, just so on the 1st you can start taking your shit seriously. You're a jerk off. You're all jerk off. This is why the fucking gym makes money, because motherfuckers like you sign up and then quit by the middle of fucking January. Fuck out of here with that dumb shit. Everybody, that same bullshit every motherfucking year.
Fuck
it's the same type of
fucking
people.
Fuck.
Start them off, you got a gun, fucking shoot them in the face.
Yeah, and that goes for every fucking person out there with the same fucking rap. Next year is going to be my year. Next year, this was a bad year. This wasn't my year. I hated this year. Really, because first off, you can't blame any of the bullshit that went on with you on the year. And I find it fucked up and just overall like you're beating yourself when you count the entire year as a loss. I don't give a fuck if the worst shit in the world happened to you on this day and that day on that day. You call the whole year a loss? Like there wasn't a good motherfucking day in the year. Like you didn't walk outside one day and say, man, this is a beautiful day out here. Man, this is feeling good out here. Anytime you was fucking just going to wipe that shit off the slate because a couple things bad happened to you. So count all that good feeling shit out. Any meal you had that you fuck, this is the best steak I had. Don't even want to think about it. This year sucked. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing. Every fucking paycheck you got, that at least for a minute, even if you had to spend it on bills, for that minute you felt good because you had the money. But no, going to cross all that shit off the list. The whole year is terrible. It's just a negative, stupid fucking way to think. And as far as next year being your year, how about you make today your motherfucking day, wake up tomorrow and do the same shit, and see how many of those you can string together before we talk about a whole year being about you. Because that's a pretty broad topic that I'm pretty sure you're not going to reach the expectations of, and that's why you'll be here on December 31st next year talking the same shit about next year's my year. I thought it was this year, but instead, let's make it next year. Bullshit. Make today your day, make tomorrow your fucking day, and continue doing that shit after that, because that's the only fucking way it's going to happen. And try to look at some of the positive shit that happened in your year instead of chalking shit up to as a loss year after year, because there's only so many years you're going to be around this motherfucker, and there's no guarantees. So if you're going to keep chalking years up as a loss, just so you can hope the next year is going to be the shit, it's going to be some fairy tale, it's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. And I get so sick of motherfuckers with this shit. No, fuck you, 2014. Get the fuck out of here. It's that negative fucking mentality that keeps all you motherfuckers underneath where you should be. Where I don't even want to say you should be producing or you should be achieving. You should only be achieving what you make out of your own shit. If you don't strive to be some shit, you ain't going to be shit. So at the end of the year, you can't be all mad because you never achieved it because you probably didn't even try to get it. People want shit to fall in their lap. And, I mean, a proclamation while drinking on the 31st ain't going to make that shit happen on the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, any one of those fucking days. You know, I mean, look at, you know, this shit on a, you know, I just looked this up tonight just for fun because funny when, how many diets and workout plans are announced and proclaimed to everybody around them while sucking down thousands of calories? They say a regular beer has 153 calories, a light beer has 103 calories, at least on this website that I just randomly looked up. A shot of gin, rum, vodka, whiskey, tequila, any one of those things, 97 calories a shot. The liqueurs and shit, like all that sweet schnapp shit, 165 calories. And I mean, you know, wine, you know, anywhere from, you know, 90 to 165 calories a glass. Fucking the craziest one I've seen, a pina colada is 490 motherfucking calories. Sorry, I mean, just go ahead and total up your own shit. How many are you going to put in one night? Just tonight, while talking about your motherfucking diet. I don't know what people's tolerance is. Let me just say, 8 regular beers and 3 shots. 1,500 fucking calories while you talk about how you want to have abs next year. You know what I'm saying? The thing is do whatever the fuck you want to do. You want to, you know, be as drunk as you want. You want to drink. You want to eat. You want to do every fucking thing you want to do. You want to not do a goddamn thing with yourself physically, then fucking cool. But don't be mad when the shit didn't turn out the way you want it when you know, you do that type of shit. That's just, you know, it's just dumb shit. Now, I guess I'll just segue from that to the next thing I was going to mention was the Necro Butcher. He's always posting fun things. He posted this a week or two ago. He put, are there any Hellraisers in wrestling anymore? Nobody drinks. Nobody smokes weed. They go to the gym and watch their diet and play Call of Duty. Who are all the young Hellraisers for the young guys to look up to? Or who are the Hellraisers for the young guys to look up to? Now, to me, that's shitty because you're looking down on people who are taking care of themselves, who are going to the gym, who are fucking working on their self, who are trying to watch their fucking diet and, you know, just overall take care of their body that they're obviously using as, you know, what they're showcasing their product, what they're using in wrestling. You know what I mean? Why not be, you're an athlete. Why not be an efficient athlete, an effective athlete? Go out there and train for what the fuck you're doing. You know, when I was living that fucking lifestyle, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a wrestler, I'm not speaking from that mind frame, but when I was living the drink every day after work lifestyle and going in, man, like at least 100 beers a week straight up and hard alcohol, you know, some nights and all that shit and eating like shit and all that. I never embraced it as the way to be. I never did that shit and looked around and was like, why aren't you motherfuckers doing the same shit, pussies? Like, I don't know. I always had, like, a stronger, smarter mentality about shit than that. Whether I was enjoying myself like that or not, like, I could look at my own fucking behavior and go, I'm acting like a jerk-off right now. This is ridiculous. But anyway, here's another beer. You know what I mean? Like, I was doing what I was doing, but I wasn't looking at it like, this is the best way to be. how dare nobody else be living this fucking lifestyle, because this is clearly the coolest shit. I just never seen it that way. I knew myself that I didn't want to live that way, even though I was having fun with it for quite some time. So, you know, I had to battle myself out of that shit, which is not easy. I mean, it's really not. So, you know, well over a year and a half sober now. And, you know, I mean, I had to switch my focus from that type of lifestyle to, you know, the physical training, gym, fucking being an obstacle course fucking athlete. And that's what I do. You know what I mean? So, but I just find it crazy that people can look at things that way and look down upon people who are taking themselves seriously. And I listened to a podcast that was done. It was a couple dudes and Eddie Kingston in a car. It was a road trip thing. And this happened a while ago, so it was definitely not like in response to what Necro said or anything, because this was taped a while ago, but I just never listened to it. And, you know, I stumble across different podcasts. It's on the Weekly Wrestling Podcast Network or whatever the Uncle Mike and Tom show is on. I just happened to see that on that feed, and it was like an on the road with Eddie Kingston and Ethan Page, I think, and another dude. And they're all, you know, just fucking bullshitting in the car. And I thought it was really entertaining, you know. I mean, by concept and it, you know, listening to it, it was only like an hour, but very entertaining. And I thought it was crazy ironic, because as I get to the end of it, I hear them just go in on this subject. And I'm like, man, if this shit wasn't taped first, I would think that they were talking about what Necro was talking about. But it's crazy because it speaks exactly to what he was saying. And I'm just going to go ahead and play it, and then, you know, afterwards comment on it a little bit.
And
is like what you put into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be a wrestler, go to the fucking gym.
Yep.
And work out.
Like, I hate that about
work at 10. I work for 10 hours a day, and I have shit to do. I'm still going to go to the gym and fucking work out, because if I chose to be a wrestler, I know I have to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, like, that was me for 9 years. I didn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
I did love it, but I just didn't, like, I tell you, I just didn't go. And then once I started, like, once I was able to go to Japan, I was like, well, shit, let me get in the gym.
Yeah, but you had success without ever having to work out.
A little bit, but I think I would have got more. Thank you. I think I would have got more if I did, you know? I wouldn't say that's a regret, but it's something that I know I could have
done a little bit better.
Definitely done better,
yeah.
You know?
But if you never had, like, that success right off the hop.
Oh, yeah, no,
been
no.
Like,
oh,
yeah. Maybe I got to do something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if I was like, oh, man, I have to. Like, same thing, like, Japan, when they said, okay, you're going to Japan. I was like, okay, I gotta get in shape. I have to now. You know? I was like, I have to now.
Yeah.
You know, so it just. But, yeah, like, that's the thing, too. I tell young guys, I go, number one, mouth shut, ears open.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is remember, this is a business. And the last part is, you're the product. You're the product that people are buying. And that's promoters and fans. So, like a car. You're not going to want a beat-up fucking car when you can see a nice, shiny new car, same price. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if that fucking beat-up car gets better mileage and better gas. You know what I mean? You still want that cool, slick-looking car, because that would bring in people, and it's good-looking. It's pleasing to the eye. That's what people want, you know? And you're the product. Even if you're a big dude and you can't lose the weight, and you do like a hillbilly gimmick or something, make it count. Make it pleasing to the eye for people. You know, like, look at the Briscoes. You know, like, they embrace who they are, and
yeah.
That's it. And they've been over for years. And they're good
they're
in the ring.
Probably one of the most overactive Ring of Honor.
Oh, from the beginning,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's, you know, a lot of Ring of Honor guys who were there in the beginning aren't there no more. I have my own opinions on that. And I'm going to keep it to myself.
Yeah.
But the Briscoes were there on the first show. You know? And they're still there. So you got to realize you're the product. And they're buying you. So.
Yeah. One of the most interesting, ironic things that you said is even if you, you know, you're heavier and you got like a hillbilly gimmick, I'm like, oh, shit. Look at this. Like I said, man, there's no chance that it was even about Dude, because that was recorded well before Necro ever made that statement. But what I'm saying, and Eddie's super cool with Necro. So again, I'm not trying to say that he's speaking to what I'm saying, but he made his point, which was the same points that I'm making. And that's, you know, Necro is one of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet. I mean, that's hands down. I mean, the dude, the amount of things that he accomplished and the character that he portrayed and everything, and, you know, the amount of punishment that he was able to take in the ring and really work like just phenomenal matches over the years, especially, you know, mid-2000s and shit. This guy was killing it. I mean, just absolutely killing it. One of the most over indie guys, and could almost do no wrong, you know? But what happened over the years is I think that the drugs and the drinking and all of that took him in a direction that didn't market himself so well. Because that's really the only thing that I could think of, because I don't think a lot changed about what he was doing out there. But I mean, you look at half of the posts he puts up, it's like a suicidal teenage girl, like an emo teenage girl. He's threatening to kill himself on Facebook like every other week. He's complaining about the whole business and how, oh, I've done all this and no one books me anymore, and guy won't return my call, and why won't they book me after all I've done? And it's like, well, again, like they're saying, you're the product. You have to sell yourself to the promoters, to the fans, to all of that shit. And if you have fallen out of favor with these people because of how you're portraying yourself and how you're carrying yourself, I mean, motherfuckers think, like Necro, and I'm sure he's going to continue to be booked on Jersey All Pro. I'm not saying anything, you know, negatively affected his booking there or anywhere. I'm just saying, it shouldn't be a surprise when you post shit like, it was a couple hours before the Jersey All Pro show, and Necro posts on his Facebook, probably not the smartest idea to drop acid 2 hours or 4 hours before bell time. Oh, well, or some shit like this. This should be interesting or something. But when you're publicly putting out there the type of shit that you're doing, and you seem to think that that's a good example for young badass wrestlers that look at what he's doing. He dropped acid before this, or he did that. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that's sending the wrong message. Again, carry yourself how you want to carry yourself, but in the same token, to put that out there as the way to be and then wonder why you're not getting booked, I don't think that those two things aren't related. You know, and I think it's fucked up for a guy like that to shit on people who are taking their craft seriously. So, enough about that. It's, you know, just something that I noticed from, you know, his postings. And then, like I said, I kind of stumbled onto that podcast and I was like, man, this is, you know, entertaining shit. You know, doing a lot of bullshit and joking around and this and that. And then they just randomly hit that topic towards the end. And like, oh, well, that's fucking kind of right on point for what I was already thinking I was going to, you know, talk about. So, is what it is. Let me see what else I got. Yeah, let me take this break right quick. Come back and I got a few more things to cover.
I'm so fucking awesome. My marbles, I lost them. I'm taking everything but precaution. Your bitches wanna call us and text us like Austin. Pussy make me hard, pussy niggas make me nauseous. I've been on my feet since the day I started walking. Bitch, I think I'm MC Hammer. Put the nail in the coffin, sell coke in the drought, sell pussy at auction. Bullets got a nigga running fast enough to race horses around here. You sniff these lines, you don't cross them. Kill your ass and leave you behind like an orphan. I swear it happens all the time, very often. still getting baseball money. Barry Larkin, round here we play for keeps. Yeah, we eating, but we starving. I give me a little money, try to spread it like margarine. I'm flyer than a motherfucker. All my flights charter, green kush, red flag, black car, white lawyer. I'm good, good. Yeah. MMP, YMCMP, nigga. Tune it up. I go into my beast mode. Rap niggas, I eat those. I tell a bitch, take a deep breath, then bend them knees like a free throw. I don't want me no good girl. I fell in love with these freak hoes. In my bedroom, I make a movie and star me with that lead rose. I buy hard like zero. My stash on closet. Racks in my pocket. These racks I deposit. Got racks on my content. Money on my mic. I got shooters on my team. They got bodies on they night. Look at that bad bitch right there. See that body on that dice. I ain't swimming in no hoe. You know I'm probably on that grind. All these niggas hating on me, but I ain't on that type. So I be in that back, nigga. And I ain't talking about spine, I'm talking 62 West. They saying niggas too stressed, do a rap. Your homie singing, yeah, I should do a duet. Shorty stomach, you love my swag. I make that pussy too wet. You niggas spinning them hoes, and I'm like, where they do that? I don't have a conscience. All my friends are monsters. They visit me so constant and talk to me about nonsense. Like stabbing you and then watching you fight for your life like you boxing. Bitch, deuce, deuce. I smoke that OG killer Bobby Johnson. I'll ollie over that bitch head. It's Holly going for fucking dead. I did a bit for that toast. So if I put me, I treat you like butter bread. But I still go hard with no regard. Earth ain't shit, bitch, go to Mars. Leave a nigga dead in the gutter. It just be him in a bloody ass bowling ball. I'm fresh as hand sanitizer. Don't hate the game, just analyze it. Two Xanax, I'm fantasizing. About fat bitches, panty sizes. Take a bullet to the chest, be a band about it. Stop acting like a little bitch, nigga. Most of y'all niggas is bitch niggas. I got a tiger in the basement, big tigger. My hair longer, my dick bigger. My hair longer, my dick bigger. My hair longer, my dick bigger. My money longer, my weed stronger. I feel longer, I no longer get my weed from feet. I pull that freedom off my waist. Now watch me let freedom ring. Ding.
Ding. Ding.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, I was gonna go into the CZW thing. I think I'd be better off just reviewing the. Or previewing, I should say, the show on next week's show, because it'll be, you know, right before the actual CZW event. So I'll do that. I was going to just mention real quick, because, you know, as people know, I work at an animal shelter. Recently, within the past couple weeks, I had saw a rabbit. And it was a domestic rabbit. On the way home from work, I seen it. And it was just hanging out. Like, that shit ain't normal. And, you know, white rabbit with brown spots. And, like, you know, I had seen the rabbit probably like a month or two ago, and feel like it's been that long. And I just saw it, you know, went home and just kind of put it out of my mind. It was just like, that shit ain't right, whatever. A couple weeks later, all of a sudden, coming home and see the rabbit. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this shit is still... This isn't like I figured it was someone's rabbit. They would, you know, catch it, supposed to be, or animal control would get it or something. And it's just still out there. This is weeks later, and, you know, it's just fucking living out there. And it's cold, and, you know, a rabbit like that, like a hawk could get it. Obviously a car could hit it. Cats. I mean, there's all sorts of different things that can kill this rabbit out there. So how it was alive after weeks outside is beyond me, you know, domestic rabbit. So I'm like, I made it like my goal. I was like, I'm going to get this fucking rabbit. So I went out that night, you know, and towards the end of my run, when I was done with my run, I walked over there and seeing this rabbit is more or less staying in these one people's yard. And it's like, all sorts of broken down cars, broken down motorcycles, just like a bunch of trash and shit in the yard. Across the street was like a nice lawn. And the street's kind of busy, you know, not like highway busy, but, you know, enough traffic. And the lawn across the street was, there was really no place for it to hide. It would just sit kind of like underneath this tree, but still in the wide open. And what I figured out in the long run was what it was doing is it was hopping across the street, chilling out on that lawn and eating the grass. And then hopping back across the street where it was living and taking refuge under these broken down fucking cars and shit. So I spent a while, like at least like a half hour, man, running around these fucking people's yard. And I was surprised nobody came out the door with a shotgun or some shit, crazy shit. But, cause, you know, stereotypical of how the yard was set up, I'm thinking these motherfuckers probably got some dumb shit in the house. So, I'm like, fucking, this rabbit straight Elmer Fudded me, man, for a couple days. It's fucking cold, and I'm trying to get him, and he's going under the car, and then, like, I go around the other side, and he's going back under the car, and he's just looking at me, fucking twitching his nose and shit. And so I'm like, man, this is some shit, man. I kept, like, just, you know, chasing, and eventually, like, it would get somewhere where I knew I wasn't going to get it. I'm just like, fuck. So, you know, it took a couple nights where I was just like, fuck, man, I didn't get it. So then the one night I borrowed a net from work, went back out there. I think it was after a Yakuza show. Went out there and fucking couldn't catch him, man. The shit ran around back at his house. And I'm just like, man, and it was cold as shit, man. My fingers were getting frostbitten. I'm just feeling bad as shit because I'm like, this rabbit, man, it's going to fucking die out here. And I can't catch him. I feel bad even giving up on it. So in the next morning, I'm like, man, on the way into work, let me just stop and see if I could see it. Boom, see it exactly where I've been seeing it. Get out, chase the shit out of it, man, all over the fucking place. Finally make one diving, like, net swipe. Boom, caught it. Get this rabbit in the car, and it's sweet as hell. I'm petting it. It's just chilling, like, loves people. Never seen a rabbit like this. I get in the shelter, you know, get it, it had some fleas and stuff, so I get it treated for that. And pretty rabbit. And, I mean, you'd pet her and stuff, and you'd stop pet her, and she'd nudge you with her head, like, you know, keep petting me, motherfucker. So, but, yeah, just spoiled the shit out of her in there, taking care of her, got pictures of her, put her up on the internet, on the, you know, the Facebook page for work. And sure enough, she just got adopted 2 days ago. And, you know, I mean, like, shit like that is so validating, and it's so rewarding, you know, because this rabbit was out there. There's no maybes about it. This rabbit was going to be dead. And now it gets to go live. These people have, like, a nice setup in their living room and shit, and they always have the rabbits, like, out and about, and have, you know, they have, the rabbit has the option to go back in the cage if it wants to and shit. So, you know what I mean? Like, I took a situation where this rabbit was outside in the fucking cold, living under broken down fucking cars that weren't going to go nowhere, and probably narrowly avoiding getting eaten by shit and hit by a car and all this other crazy shit that could be happening to it, plus just living through the winter. And, you know, fast forward to now where this shit is a family pet in somebody's house right now. You know, that, I don't know. That just definitely, it was one of those things that makes, like I said, validation. And, you know, I see a lot of these different things go on, you know, where I work. Yeah, you see tons of negative shit, and you see some positives too. So this is one of those things. Just because I had so many personal hours running around chasing it and shit like this, and it just felt good and shit. So I just figured I'd share that. But let me see what else I got. I said I really don't want to get into the other DCW shit yet because it doesn't make any sense for me to get into it and re-preview it on next week. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to take my other song break, come back, touch on the playoffs a little bit, and do that.
With all this love in my heart.
In my heart, y'all.
I'm just enough to make a star. All it takes is one day.
Uh-huh.
And it's just all you
know. Yeah.
With all this love in
Night
my
wonder.
Heart.
Night Wonder. Sean P.
I'm just enough to make a star.
Justice League. Here we go, y'all. Hey, yo. I love selling Knicks at night. Go home to my son, roll a flip and watch Nick at night. I love it with my bitch cooks. Come home to a hot meal, it's not real, the bitch can't cook. I love them bullets I sent you. You know what's up, I'm broke as fucking niggas to rent to. I love my mom's in a drug habit. I love a double jointed bitch up in my craftmatic. I love snatching niggas' jewels up on the mass transit. I love busting in your mouth, I know you can't stand it. I love it. I love it when you bob your head to this. At the same time, giving your guard head in the whip. I love it when I'm with wife and you say nothing. Right under her nose, I'm right under your clothes, and I love it. Yeah. Little slick bitch. In my heart, y'all.
I'm shooting for love to make a start. Only take it from the bed. And if it's on your
mind,
won't
get it.
With all this love in my heart.
I got heartburn.
I'm shooting for love to make a start. Only take it from the bed. And if it's on your mind,
yeah. I love fist fights with brass knuckles. I love to get right with the fifth and make your ass buckle. Bong bong. I love mushrooms. I love the puff boom boom. Love living with you though it ain't mushrooms. I love when you say my song is corny. At the same time hugging my nuts and God stay horny. I love the flow, dog. Tell me about it, the hoes. I love the raw, dog. Telly Savalas, you know. I love Martin Luther. Love Malcolm X. Love Knots Landing. Love Falcon Crest. I love wallabies. I love trees just as much as I love collard greens and cheese, bitch. I love it. Yeah.
In my heart,
y'all. Punch street niggas, rude and weak and food is taking lunch meat niggas. Y'all motherfuckers phony, the farmer told me to knock y'all niggas out quick and pony your palmer. Show me your dollar, nigga, I show you the llama. The bullet blow, throw holes in your armor. Blam, blam, damn, bam, you fucking with the grown ass man. Couldn't picture my life different on Kodak cam. I'm on your block in a towback van. Jumped out with a new gun, hold that fam. Sean Price, past, present, and future. Better late than never, whatever I see you, I shoot you. I love it. Get your guns, nigga. I love it. Don't slap me five, nigga. I'll slap you nine, nigga. Fuck out of here.
So, obviously, as, you know, anybody who watches football knows, and, you know, everything is all set for the playoffs. Playoffs start this Saturday, and the Niners are not part of that, which obviously upsets me quite a bit. Now, you know, we round up 8-8. We ended the season beating the Cardinals, who are a playoff team, who are, you know, right up there in the NFC. They were they were leading the NFC West for quite some time. I believe Seattle overtook them. Yeah, they did. Overtook them as far as NFC West leaders. And, you know, there's tons of things that went wrong with the 49ers this year. Navarro Bowman was out from last season's playoffs up against Seattle. And supposed to come out back, you know, major knee surgery. He was supposed to come back halfway through the season, and it just didn't happen. I guess it kept getting pushed back, and his rehab wasn't going as well as expected. Also late in the season, Pat Willis, the other, you know, major contributing linebacker. I mean, the heads of that fucking team, the heart and soul of that team on the defensive side of the ball was definitely Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. They were the best 1-2 punch inside linebackers in the fucking game. I don't care what anybody says. When those guys were on the top of their game, you know, not this year, obviously last year, I don't think there was any inside linebackers duo that was fucking with them. You'd be hard pressed to find somebody. And if you're naming somebody, you're probably just saying it to say it. I can't imagine that, you know, that there's a legit argument for two better. So next year is going to be some shit. And Chris Borland came out as a rookie and filled in that spot very fucking well. I mean, the guy is a beast. He's going to be phenomenal. What they do with him, where they mix him in, I'm not really sure. Our offensive play calling was absolutely ridiculous. Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, just did a horrible job. But I think there was a ton of chemistry problems with our coach, Jim Harbaugh, who, you know, had a winning record and, you know, nothing short of the NFC championship game since he signed on as coach until this year. And last year we were still fucking favored in everything. People were calling us, you know, expected us to be Super Bowl champions. You know, even halfway through last season, we were definitely one of the top favorites. You know, we were jostling for top position, power rankings, all of that shit. We were up, down. I mean, we were considered one of the top teams throughout the season. Sometime early in the season, there was something came out that Jim Harbaugh was almost traded to the Browns. And it ended up getting squashed. I guess it never, got off the ground or whatever the case was. But if your team is doing well and everything is clicking and the ownership is trying to trade your coach, it's got to make some bad waves. And there was obviously maybe an underlying bad situation going on between him and the ownership. I don't know. As a fan looking on, it looked like everything should be fine. What the fuck are they even talking about, trading our coach? What are you, nuts? That always struck me as weird. And then there was just rumor after rumor that there was issues back there. And, you know, fans and everybody else would go, oh, are you nuts? No way. No, that's bullshit. Well, it obviously was true. Towards the end of the season, Harbaugh started getting offers, and he was offered to be the highest paid coach in the history of college football and coach for a team that he played his college ball, Michigan. So you can't blame the guy for one bit for taking that offer, but in the same token, the writing was on the wall as far as his relationship with San Francisco went. And they didn't want him back, I mean, for whatever reason. And like I said, this turmoil that was going on during the season, it showed on the field because the offensive play calling was terrible. They couldn't seem to get their shit together. It was kind of crazy. Sometimes the offense would go into that two-minute offense before a half and look better than they did when the sidelines were calling, which is, you know, kind of telling that something's up. So it's a shame because I'm going to miss Jim Harbaugh. He was a great coach for us, you know, while the relationship was good with him and the ownership. And like I said, three fucking NFC championships in a row and a Super Bowl appearance. I can't argue with that, man. We were horrible for fucking years. So to see us come back to that situation, you know, I don't know. I'm looking forward to see what the future's all about, but you know, what's going to come of it. So, we got a lot to hope for. I think next year, honestly, I think we're going to be the best defense in football again. I really, really, truly believe that because our main core guys are going to be back. I think Justin Smith is going to retire. I haven't heard a definite out of him yet, but I would hope that he gives us one more year. I hope to get Frank Gore back for another year. These are staples. I think we're going to go fucking win this shit home field because next year's Super Bowl is going to be played in Santa Clara, the new stadium that they just built, and we played the season in. And that's another thing that nobody seems to bring up that, you know, home field advantage. But, you know, this was our first fucking year at this stadium. So you take a good team and you take them out of their home, that's got to affect you. That might be considered, quote unquote, their home, but who the fuck's all? I mean, you haven't played there yet. They had problems with the turf from the start. They replaced the entire turf 3 times during the season, I believe, which is ridiculous, like unheard of type shit. They had all sorts of problems with it. And you know, it's not making excuses. It's just saying that there's so many contributing factors why this team was in absolute shambles this year. And it, yeah, we did not make the playoffs deservingly so. I mean, we lost fucking 8 games. We ended up 8-8. So, here's what it is. Next year's going to be a whole nother motherfucking bug. So anyway, the playoffs go as such. Arizona at Carolina. Now this year, and I don't, like I said, I don't think that, you know, we belong in the playoffs because we fucking don't, honestly. And it's crazy because half of who I'm making a fucking case for is a team that I can't stand, and like the Eagles. The Carolina Panthers had 7 goddamn wins. We had a better record than them, and we were 3rd in our division. The Falcons, who I believe came in 2nd in that division, are getting a top 10 draft pick. That's how terrible that division is. A team with 7 wins should not go to the playoffs. I honestly don't think so. What's terrible now, too, is because Arizona is on such a severe decline that I wouldn't put it past Carolina to beat them in the first round, but that doesn't mean Carolina belongs. I honestly picked Carolina to beat Arizona, but I wish that they can create another wild card spot, and I think that spot would have went to the Eagles. But just overall, who's a better team? I mean, the Carolina Panthers with 7 wins, I don't know. I'd rather take a 9-win team that gets over 500 than a team who wins their division under 500. I think it's disgusting. They should really kind of look into that. I know it doesn't happen very often, but if an entire division comes in under 500, I think they should sacrifice their playoff spot and open up another, you know, a wild card for another winning team, because you're going to get another, you know, team that's over 500 within the conference. So, I don't know. It's not something that's going to happen, but I honestly think they should look at it because it's ridiculous. And Carolina, they could squeeze past the first round. I think they're going to get embarrassed in the next round. So, it's, you know, in the divisional playoffs. Arizona, Carolina, like I said, I kind of see Carolina pulling out that one, but that doesn't say anything. Arizona is on, I think, their 3rd-string quarterback. So everything that came together for them, and, man, they drove with such fucking intensity throughout the season, and their defense is super tough. I think they've hit, like, a serious, serious fucking roadblock at this point. And they're not the team that was leading the division for the majority of the season anymore. And, I'd be surprised to see them pull it together. Hopefully they will. I honestly don't want to see Carolina go to the second round because it just helps validate people who say, oh, shoot, a 7-9-1 or whatever the fuck they were. 7-8-1 or some shit they were. Set a tie. See, they belong. They really don't. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. This is a rivalry and a half. And that fucking game is going to be blood. Fucking, it really depends on what team comes out. Pittsburgh has played really, really good at some points. Ben Roethlisberger has played a phenomenal year for the most part. He struggled towards the end of the season, I think, but man, there was a good portion of the year he was playing just top-notch football. Being at Pittsburgh, I'm probably going to go with Pittsburgh on that one, but this is one of those crazy, crazy matchups that can go either way because they hate each other. That shit is going to be super physical. A lot of fun to watch. Cincinnati at Indianapolis. This is the Sunday early game. Cincinnati's another one of those rough teams, man, that just they have not looked strong down the stretch. Indianapolis has taken some losses as well, too, but I think the Indianapolis team's going to come out on top here. Detroit at Dallas. Calling a spoiler on this one, and I think Detroit wins. Dallas has been very, very strong. It's one of the teams that people are calling scary and saying that can't be beat. No, look out for these guys. I don't know. I think Detroit's extremely scrappy. Matt Stafford and Megatron are a lethal fucking combination. I think Stafford's just a tremendous quarterback. I don't know if he gets quite the credit he deserves. I think he's a very, very good player. And good in the fucking playoffs. Tony Romo does not show up come fucking playoff time. I know people like to laugh it off and try to give him more credit. And, oh, yeah, that's funny. Whoa, next year. And then he just loses in the fucking playoffs again. I don't think Tony Romo has won a single playoff game in his career thus far. In fact, I know he hasn't. So that is yet to be proven. I think Dallas has a lot of holes in that team. They may look good one week, but don't be surprised if Detroit comes out on top of this one. And then the following week, you got your divisional games. Your bye teams are New England and Seattle, going to play on the Saturday, January 10th. And fuck, man, I'm going to be at the Dub while Seattle's playing and shit. So I'll be rooting against them from fucking Voorhees, New Jersey. Looking at the phone for updates. Fucking Green Bay and Denver are your Sunday matchups. So, not matchups, but those are the teams that have byes on Sunday. Green Bay, man, they're badass, but I really fucking worry about them with Aaron Rodgers' fucking calf is as banged up as it is. He has like a torn calf muscle. I can't imagine they get out of the fucking NFC with this dude hopping around with a fucking torn calf muscle. He went down hard. Sue's a jerk off. He fucking stepped on his fucking leg on purpose. He's done this shit a million times. The dude's dirty as fuck. But he appealed his fucking suspension, and he's going to be in the game, you know, playing for Detroit over there. So, man. I don't know. I mean, well, I guess we'll go over who I think's going to win next week's games next week. So, that's what I think. I think you got Indianapolis coming out, Detroit coming out, Pittsburgh and let's go with Arizona. Arizona, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Detroit. Two home, two away teams. Like I said, I got a kind of feeling like Carolina could be on a little bit more of a roll right now, but I don't know, man. Arizona has a lot more to their team than their quarterback, so I'd like to give them enough credit to say that they can pull this out and show up the division-leading team they were for most of this year, and you'll beat the 7-win team. So that's that. I think that's all I got this week, man. Everybody have a good night. Don't fucking kill yourself. Or if you know, that's all you're worth, fucking kill yourself. So check you guys out next week. You know, go over the CZW thing and everything and, preview that, the whole deal. So, check you out next week. Peace.
Woo! I'm gonna get some cold cuts today.